Elder Romanes Elijah David, Minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 19, 2017, already the 26th day of the 4th month, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, I'm Thine, O Yahweh.
I'm Thine, O Yahweh, heard Thy voice. It told Thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Coming in here, this is Yah, to the place where Thou hast died. Coming in here, this is Yah, to the precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to the service, Yah, of the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thy. Coming in here, blessed Yah, to the cross where Thou hast died. Coming in here, blessed Yah, to the precious bleeding side. For the pure delight of a single life, that before Thy throne I stand. When I kneel in prayer and with Thee, my Yah, I commune as friend with friend. Coming in there, blessed Yah, to the cross where Thou hast died. Coming in there, blessed Yah, to the precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know, till I cross the narrow sea. There are hearts of joy that I may not reach, till I rest in peace with Thee. Coming in there, blessed Yah, to the cross where Thou hast died. Coming in there, blessed Yah, to the precious bleeding side.
Daniel Revelation Part 2, Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, page 50. We're dealing with the title today of The Bear and the Leopard. The example made of the Babylonian monarch should have an object lesson to all successive kings. The righteous influence of the Cyrus might also have been retained by the kings of Medo-Persia, like the Chaldeans. Okay. It says that we're looking forward to worldly glory without fear of him who can set up kingdoms and dispose kings. The priceless lesson taught by the punishment of the Chaldean king should have been a blessing unto them, but in their vain imagination they departed from the source of the true wisdom and from power that is never failing. Thus that which was intended as a blessing became a condemnation. Therefore the kings of Medo-Persia grew worse than the kings of Grecia, whose idols were their gods. And perverse appetite, their only rule of life. Thus again the time had come for the ribs and the mouth of the bear to speak, arise and devour much flesh. Therefore the arm of omnipotence was withdrawn from the Persian king, and Alexander, with the swiftness of an eagle, marched upon his prey. So may the Persia open the gateway for the bloodiest wars in our world history. In this manner, the words, arise, devour much flesh, met their fulfillment. Says Daniel, and as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes, and he came unto the ram that had the two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and he smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down through the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. For the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Agricia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Daniel 8, 5 to 7, 20 and 21. Therefore Alexander, whose love for the conquest knew no bounds, was the first to successfully lead the west against the east. But no sooner had Alexander conquered the empire than he engaged in a drunken debauch and passed away while yet in his youth. Thus the horn of the he-goat was broken off from between his eyes, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of the heaven. Alexander, not having a successor to inherit the throne, the kingdom was divided between his four generals, namely Cassander, Lamachus, Ptolemy, and Seleucus. Thus time and providence brought about the four-headed leopard beast. The ram and the goat. For the entire conflict between the nations is symbolized by the ram and the goat, the various horns coming up and breaking off. Why a ram and a goat? Why not some other species of animals? Yahshua gives the answer. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Matthew 25, 32, 33. Isn't that amazing? We have a two-party system in this country. And they call them the conservative right and the liberal left. And the liberal left, they are enemies to those on the right. And so there you have a symbol of sheep and goats right here in our own government, between government parties and between nations. You have the communist nations that are infidels, they're atheist minded, and they are enemies to the West, to the conservative Christian, what they call Christian nations. There's a dividing line between the two. The two thoughts, communist and Christian, just sheep and goats. But these domestic beasts, inspiration conveys the thought that the inhabitants of the earth are but sheep and goats, true and false religion. It also signifies that wars are a strife between good and evil. But why Medo-Persia by a ram and Grecia by a goat? Why not the reverse? the kings of the Medo-Persian Empire became believers in the true Yahweh, as previously explained, thus having principles contrary unto those of Grecia. For that reason, Medo-Persia was represented by a ram, and Grecia by a goat. Wonderful it is to note how perfect and thoughtful was the great wisdom and care of the Infinite One as exercised to devise these symbols. Only omnipotence can invent such perfect prophetic art, foretelling historical events. Kingdom of Brass rules the world. It has been previously explained that the lion, the bear, and the leopard beast are divinely numbered. The leopard being the fourth empire from creation. And as the numbers in that fashion stop with him, naturally, the question would arise, why not continue the numerical order with the beast that followed the leopard? There are several reasons for the change with that particular beast. As Rome was slowly rising from within the Grecian Empire, she finally absorbed the last Grecian division, and the Ptolemy dynasty became a province of the Roman state about 27 BC. Thus the Old Testament closed with Grecia, and with Rome the new began. Therefore, between Grecia and Rome lies a dividing line. It also noted that the beasts representing the Old Testament are hornless, but the ones in the new are with horns, all of which signifying the close of the typical and the commencement of the antitypical period. For the numerals of the Bible are like the rich veins of the metal beneath the surface of the earth. Thousands walk over these unknown treasures until unseen power brings them unto the surface. We know that the Trinity is best expressed by the use of the terms Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Likewise, we express Yahweh's attributes in three terms, namely of omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. This feature could be greatly enlarged upon. If three is the symbol of the triune Yahweh, four must designate that which proceeds from him, as revealed in the creation. For the cherubim consist of the four living creatures, each having the face of a lion, a calf, a man, and an eagle, respectively. There are four regions of the earth, east, north, south, and west, which is expressive of the completeness of the direction. Likewise, winter, spring, summer, and autumn covers the complete cycle of the circle of the season. We have already observed that there were four universal empires in the history of the world, from creation unto the crucifixion. We may also note the fact that in connection with this subject, that there is a combination of the threefold with the fourfold, as clearly seen in the work of the creation, in which the first 4 days were employed in the forming of the sphere, and the remaining three and the creation of the living creatures, and culminating in a Sabbath rest. The fourth day saw the material substance of the creation finished, and on the fifth and sixth days was the peopling of the earth. In the book of the Revelation under the head of the seven seals, we observe that the first four seals were clearly separated from the last three by the symbols of the four horses. Thus it appears that the fourfold measure in each case precedes the threefold, just as in creation order, each division culminating in the seven of perfection. For this reason, there are four sections in the great image of Daniel. Two four beasts in Daniel's vision, four wings and four heads on the leopard, with whom the number in that fashion ceased. Thus it is evident that the Old Testament closed with a symbolic number four. The leopard beast, showing that all the necessary provisions for the salvation of the human family was completed under the dispensation of this prominent number, four, as it terminated about the time of the crucifixion. Thus, this number is used in connection with incidences, with the incidences for the signifying of the earth-wide blow you the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm of my holy mountain. Now let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yahweh cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Joel 2:1. The nondescript beast, Daniel 7:7. This is a subtitle for our next topic in this lesson. Okay, the nondescript beast, Daniel 7:7, it says, following the four-headed leopard comes the nondescript beast of Daniel 7:7, representing the fourth universal empire from the flood to the fifth one from the creation. Rome is represented by a more terrible symbol than the kingdoms before it. There must be a special reason why the Roman monarchy is represented by a nondescript beast, for the symbol reveals that the Roman system of government was an arrangement that could not be described. The nearest approach to it, to a correct name, is the term nondescript. We shall now consider its government administration. The crucifixion of Yeshua and the martyrdom of the Christians give evidence that the Roman executive authority was vested in paganism, which was at war with Christianity. That's what you have today. All of our governments around the world are invested with paganism. As these Christians were put to death for refusal to worship the gods of the people. Now, it says these Christians, these apostolic believers, converts to the apostolic Nazarene creed. This is what he's talking about. It is obvious that the Jews used the civil arm of Rome to try and enforce their own religious custom. That should have been an example, for he was crucified as a result of the religious controversy. Rome in the first century persecuted the apostolic believers, but after adopting the apostolic creed, she ill-treated the pagans. Alright, it says, Rome in the first century persecuted the Christians. Okay, let's go with that. But after adopting Christianity, she ill-treated the pagans, compelling them to join the so-called Christian church. Isn't this a lark? From the evidence gathered, it is plain to see that the Roman monarchy was a tool for the either pagan, Jew, or Christian, alienating the favor of one and then of the other, and as much as the character of the imperial Roman jurisdiction could not be defined as pagan, Jew, or Christian. Nondescript is the only fitting symbol. It is said of Constantine at his death that his subjects knew not what kind of burial to give him, since he was a professed Christian, but at heart a pagan. Perhaps many nations, as well as some professed Christians at this present time, are nondescript like the Roman. For the apostle has described their condition thusly, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. That describes all of your Christian churches today, all your Protestant Sunday keeping, Adventists as well. They all are nondescript and a doctrine. They don't have any pure doctrine. None of them. Even down to the Davidians, they have a pure doctrine, but they don't know how to simulate it and follow it, because they rejected new leaders as they were raised up unto them. They rejected the new leaders, and so therefore they cannot disseminate and understand truth in its rightful order as prophecy unfolds. Attempts to establish ecclesiastical government, page 56. The question may arise, what hindered Satan from establishing an ecclesiastical monarchy before the closing period of the Old Testament? The only answer that can be given is that the Jewish nation permitted him to becloud their eyes. They were told not to make a confederacy with the world, but unmindful of the command, they made a league with the Romans, and that is what helped Satan to accomplish his scheme. The following will show that this great enemy of mankind tried the same procedure in the days of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then a herald cried aloud, "Unto you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace." The nations and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image, Daniel 3:1-4:7. But there were 3 Hebrews found who rebelled against the king's command and refused to bow down to the idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning of fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of Yahweh." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High, Yahweh, come forth and come hither. Daniel 3:16-18, 20, 22-26. Then these men came forth unhurt. It is wonderful what Yahweh accomplished with the three slaves against the world's empire. These three men, with faith in Yahweh, broke the satanic contrivance, abolished the establishment of an ecclesiastical government, and brought the king's decree unto naught. Well, that's the same thing today. This is what Yahweh raised up this house of David to do, is to bring the ecclesiastical government to an end. King unawares, although Daniel was cast into the lion's den, he too came out unharmed. But his enemies perished, as did those who threw the three Hebrews into the fiery furnace. Thus Satan's power was broken in both of these ancient empires. Had there been such men as these Hebrews in the days of the establishment of the Roman monarchy, or at the closing of the Old Testament history, and during the commencement of the New, conditions would have been entirely different. The world is in urgent need at this time of men like the three Hebrews, who would rather yield this present life than the offender Elohim, men like Daniel, who looked with strong faith unto the Yahweh and was without fault in his religious and secular duty. By such men as these, the world has been blessed with the everlasting benefits and rewards that no human lips can describe. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy Elohim reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Yahweh shall bring again Zion. Isaiah 52:7-8. The Red Dragon. Revelation 12:3. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and a moon under her feet, and upon her crown of 12 stars, and she being with a child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast him unto the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it is born. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Revelation 12:1-4-9. The dragon was seen in heaven, and being cast out, it is obvious that the symbol is of the heavenly origin. Of him it is said, that an old serpent called the devil and Satan. Note that the dragon is a symbol of Satan, even as the lamb, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, is a symbol of Yahshua. Revelation 5:6. Since the numerous beasts from an unbreakable chain of the world empires, the dragon cannot intersect between the links as a symbol of a separate earthly system. Thus he represents just what the scripture says, the devil and Satan. The figure is given to reveal Satan's scheme at a certain time in our world's history. The woman clothed with the sun is understood to be Yahweh's congregation. The child to which she gave birth was Yahshua. The 12 stars that comprise a woman's crown were originally symbols of the 12 patriarchs. This will be made plain in another study. Therefore, we shall endeavor to make clear the time of the dragon and his work. It will be noticed that the dragon stood ready to devour the child Yahshua as soon as he was born. It is evident that the old serpent armed himself with 7 heads and 10 horns prior to the birth of Yahshua, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. The scripture is self-explanatory as to who the symbolical stars are. For inspiration says, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Therefore, the third part of the stars represent the angels who were deceived by Satan's controversy, according to Testimonies for the Church, Volume 3, page 115, Satan and his rebellion. So therefore, Satan and his rebellion took a third part of the angels. They turned from the Father and from his Son and united with the instigator of rebellion. The question may arise, why draw them with his tail and not some other way? The symbol is perfectly capable of indicating the manner in which Satan drew them to the earth. Had it been done with claws, it would denote that Satan defeated Michael, Yahshua, and by force dragged out a third of the angels. But since he drew them with his tail, the significance is that a third part of the angels joined him in rebellion against Michael. For when the dragon was cast out, naturally he was coming head first, and as he drew them with his tail, it reveals that they voluntarily followed him. Thus Yahshua could do nothing for them. War in heaven. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Now there was no place found any more in heaven. Revelation 12, 7 and 8. The conflict was in heaven. The name Michael means who is like Yahweh. Hence it is one of the many titles of the Yahshua. Daniel calls him Michael the Great Prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Daniel 12:1. Yahshua has numerous titles, each bearing a definition of a certain phase or character of his work. For the angel said unto Joseph, and thou shalt call his name Yahshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. He is also called Emmanuel, meaning Yahweh with us, etc. Time cast out. Satan could not have been cast out of heaven immediately after he sinned, or when he deceived Adam and Eve. For in Job 1, 6, and 7 we read, now there was a day when the sons of Yahweh came to present themselves before the Yahweh, and Satan came also among them. And the Yahweh said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. For the sons of Yahweh are the representatives of the unfallen world, equal unto Adam before he sinned, created by the hand of the Yahweh, and representatives in the same capacity as Adam could have been had he not fallen from his throne by sin. Quoting from the spirit of the prophecy, the commander of the angel host, the son of the Yahweh, the representatives of the unfallen worlds are assembled. The heavenly council before which Lucifer had accused Yahweh and his son, the representatives of those sinless realms over which Satan has thought to establish his dominion. The Law of Ages 8:34, quote, Satan still had access unto heaven in Job's time. Therefore, he must have been cast out at a later date, says John. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Revelation 12:13. That would be the apostolic congregation representing the woman. The next necessary step is to find when the dragon first persecuted the woman. And that is the apostolic congregation of the Nazarene Creed, with the apostles in charge of the temple. We shall then have the truth of the time Satan was cast out. For that time of the persecution is recorded in the Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto his Stephen's death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the congregation which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Thus the great persecution against the congregation was about 34 A.D. It is true that Satan persecuted Yahshua before that time, but Yahshua is not the woman. He is the child whom Satan wished to devour. Therefore Satan was cast out immediately after Yahshua ascended on high. The spirit of prophecy, speaking of the occasion, said, all are there that welcome the Redeemer. They are eager to celebrate his triumph and to glorify their king. He presents to Yahweh, the wave chief, those raised with him as representatives of that great multitude who shall come forth from the grave at his second coming. For the voice of Yahweh is heard proclaiming that justice is satisfied. Satan is vanquished. Yahshua's trolling and struggling ones on earth are accepted in the beloved before the heavenly angels and the representatives of the unfallen worlds. They are declared justified. Satan saw that his disguise was torn away. His administration was laid open before the unfallen angels and before the heavenly universe. He had revealed himself as a murderer. By the shedding of the blood of the Son of Yahweh, he had uprooted himself from the sympathies of the heavenly being. Henceforth his work was restricted. Whatever attitude he might assume, he could no longer await the angels as they came from the heavenly courts and before them accused Yahshua's brethren of being clothed with the garments of blackness and the defilement of sin. The last link of sympathy between Satan and the heavenly world was broken. The Law of Ages 8:33, 8:34, and 7:61. For the time, he drew a third part of the stars, angels, from heaven, and the time of the war in heaven were two distinct occasions. He drew the angels when they followed him from heaven to earth and sought to destroy to devour Yahshua. And when the dragons saw that he was cast out into the earth, that is, after Yahshua was crucified, Satan at his return unto heaven was forbidden an entrance. Thus he saw, understood that he was cast out, then he persecuted the church. The dragon's horns and heads. The only possible time for the application of the symbolical horns, heads, and crown would be with the closing of the old dispensation and at the commencement of the new. For the dragon appeared in that form when the Yahshua was to be born. The horns represent the same as they do on any symbolical beast. being 10 in number, the symbol denotes that the effect of his scheme was universally felt. It also signified that Satan had obtained full control of the nation, which was symbolized by the 10 horns of the nondescript beast. Now I'm going to turn to Revelation 17 and right now and read you a latter-day prophecy that is present tense right now that applies to this time. First, I'll finish reading what I just read. Of the 10 horns, by the 10 horns of the nondescript beast of Daniel 7, and thus he moved upon Herod to kill the children at the birth of the Yahshua, with the hope of destroying the Savior, devouring the child. And this Daniel 7 is a prophecy for these last days. Okay, Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. Okay, so now, what did we read about those 10 horns earlier and the shepherd rod here? It says, it also signified that Satan had obtained full control of the nations, which were symbolized by the 10 horns of the nondescript beast of Daniel 7. And so, why is it tall mystery Babylon today that is in charge of these 10 horns? It's this nondescript beast that is personified now through this woman, Mystery Babylon. Okay, let's go ahead now and read from the Bible, Revelation 17:4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. So those that don't have their names in the Lamb's book of life, they have no inspiration to understand about this woman, this beast, that was and is and is the future. Verse 9, Revelation 17. And here is the mind which hath a wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Now this one that goeth into perdition, that he's the eighth now. He's a scarlet-colored beast. He has the 10 horns. He has the 10 horns on his head, and he goes into perdition with them. Revelations. And the 10 horns which thou sawest, for Revelation 17:12, are 10 horns, or 10 kings. Let's do that again. For the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet. but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. He shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is a sovereign of sovereigns and king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So where the whore sitting at, she's sitting on this beast that has the 10 horns. Okay, so this woman is the mouthpiece for the beast. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Okay, for Elohim hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast, not to the woman, but unto the beast. Until the words of Elohim shall be fulfilled. So this is where you're at today, folks. Revelation 17:17. For Elohim hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of the Elohim shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. There you have it. Let's go back to our reading of from the Ship of God. We're on page 68. We're dealing with the dragon's horns and heads. Let us not overlook the fact that all the horns, heads, and crowns were present when he stood ready to devour her child. Consequently, whatever the meaning by these symbols, all must be in existence at the same time. Had this not been so, the symbols of the heads and horns would have so indicated by coming up one after another, like the beast and also like the horns of the ram and of the goat of Daniel 8. The same is true with the nondescript beast of Daniel 7:7, from which 3 of the 10 horns were plucked up by the roots, where systems and governments do not all exist at the same time. The symbols appear one after another in their correct order. Thus we see that inspiration is perfect in every respect, and faultless in the revealing of the truth intended. Therefore it would be inconsistent for one to conclude that the horns as well as the heads could represent a consecutive order of systems, as long as they all appear in a group and in oneness with the beast that carries them. It is also impossible that both horns and heads could represent civil governments or kings. If the horns stand for the political systems, then the heads cannot. If the wounded head on the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13:1-3 represents a religious organization, then all the heads must stand for the religious system. However, there is an exception with the four-headed leopard of Daniel 7:6, for he is without horns, and his heads are proven to be silver by the 4 horns of the goat. It is an unmistakable fact that the symbols are intended to reveal the civil and religious phases during the period represented by the nondescript beast in both his stages, imperial and papal Rome. All right. As crowns denote civil authority, and as they appear on the heads instead of on the horns, it is evident that the church in that period was using civil dictatorial power to propagate her dogma Thus the lessons embodied in these symbols are far greater than we can comprehend in a moment. As the facts brought forth regarding the nature of the symbols cannot be questioned, we have a positive foundation for their application. The dragon with his 7 heads and 10 horns, with the crowns on the heads, appeared at the birth of Yahshua, as previously explained, and occupies a period parallel with the nondescript beast. Okay, now what about the antitype? When does this dragon again appears again? At the second birth of the Yahshua, in the spirit, spiritual birth. So he appeared in 2002, starting at Corona, Texas, Gilead Center. This is where he first appeared to challenge the Lamb. For Yahshua made his presence known there in 2002 at the Passover. And Satan was there to challenge the Lamb. And he had his deceived servant, Brutus Johnson, ready to defend the Lamb, he thought. But instead, he was defending Satan, because he contradicted everything that the scriptures stand for in the fulfillment of this prophecy that we're talking about here today. So therefore, Brother Johnson represents the agent that was to bring the end to the Adventist Church, closing work for the Adventist Church, because of his failure to become purified and sanctified, and his sanctifying his congregation so that he could understand the prophecy in his true light. Not being able to understand the prophecy in his true light, then Satan was able then to capture the moment and to take charge of Gilead Center starting at the Passover and bring it to his close. He always sent his safety valve in there with Elijah David, and giving him the safety valve that let us escape, those that put in charge of the new understanding of this here beast with his 7 heads and 10 horns in charge of. And this beast represents the dragon, the red dragon. So we were there then at the rebirth of Yahshua. But he had to be crucified afresh by the man of sin first, and then he had to be reborn with the kingdom of David. Okay. For the heads are represented by the biblical number 7, meaning completeness, and embrace every religious system in the days of Yahshua. As the dragon represents the devil who controls the heads, the symbol unmistakably denotes a complete apostasy. It is not intended to reveal that the pagan system of worship was headed by the devil, or it has never been otherwise. It was the Jewish congregation that had apostatized. That is what made the biblical number 7 heads. Just such an apostasy had gripped the world in the days of Noah. So, the apostasy, those 7 heads represents the 7 different time zones of the house of Israel. And they had 7 names. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And its wickedness made the continuation of the world impossible. Therefore, necessity for the good of mankind brought about the flood. The terrible apostasy of the Jews made unavoidable another disaster similar to the dreadful deluge. As Yahweh could not overthrow the world by water the second time, and yet keep his never failing promise unto his faithful servant, Noah, he sent his son to die in the world's stead. Therefore, the world perished not because of the supreme sacrifice of the Son of Yahweh, and the world exists today because thy soul arose from the dead. The dragon's crowns. Note that the crowns and their significance. It has been explained that the crowns denote civil authority. The heads being crowned, it reveals that the congregations of that time employed the civil arm of the state. Had this not been true, the Jews could not have crucified the Yeshua of the glory, neither could they have stoned Stephen or beheaded and killed the others. It was the civil arm of Rome, headed by the dragon, through which the Jews committed these terrible crimes, resulting in their own destruction. The accuser of the brethren. After the dragon was cast down from heaven, according unto this vision, says John, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our Elohim, and the power of his Asif, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Elohim day and night. Revelation 12:10. Satan's accusation against those who seek the Yahweh are not prompted by the displeasure of their sin. He exalts in their defective churches, for he knows that only through their transgression of Yahweh's law can he obtain power over them. Prophets and Kings, page 585-586. When the Spirit of Yahweh prompts to reprove, he will reveal sin and rebuke the sinner. But Satan encourages the sinner to unconsciously commit himself in transgression. Then he accuses him before the great judge in heaven as being clothed with the garments of blackness and the defilement of sin. To secure his condemnation, Yahweh's people must learn to detect the voice of the spirit of Yahshua as well as the spirit of Satan. When the two clash, the one will strive for obedience unto Yahweh's word, but the other will excuse the sin and sympathize with the sinner. In this way, Satan gains ground, for the sinner loves his sin. This brings the end of our step. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. Signs Hill by the Elijah Davis song that I've written.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. That's the town Signs Hill. That is all of us on Zion.